News Talk 94.3, 95.5. We've also got County Commissioner, McCracken County Commissioner, Eddie Jones. You've got an idea here to the Convention Visitors Bureau. You want to, how does that situated now? Is that a county thing? Is that a city thing? Is that a combined thing?
Okay. Well, because
you're wanting to split off and let the city have their own and the county have their own. I don't know how it's apportioned right now.
Well, presently we have a joint venture, so it's a city-county venture.
Okay.
And so it is a shared venture and funded by 3%, one half. So we have a 6% transient room tax. Basically, 3 of that goes to the convention center, either for debt or for operations. The other 3 goes to the CVB, or the Community Visitors Bureau.
Yeah. And then you want to split the county off, so there's a separate city visitors bureau and a separate county visitor bureau.
That's right. I'm showing up for the grilling, Greg, because I do want to separate those things. If we have, by statute, if we have a city, allow the city to have theirs, and then the county says we're going to have ours, then we would have 2 different commissions, and normally that's not a good thing because you want duplicity of government. But by doing that, we can add, or actually the city could add, its own 3% transient room tax. Now, what's the transient room tax and what's 3%? The transient room tax is the tax paid for by people from Chicago on their way to Florida. It's tacked onto the hotel room. It'll make a $100 room $103, and this would generate about an extra $1 million of revenue from the way that we sell our town.
It's essentially letting us double the room tax.
It doubles the room tax, and that's exactly right.
But then what would we do with all this money?
Well, the room tax money can only be spent on certain things. And you have to set up a certain type of commission. And on that commission, so we would set up a commission that had 7 folks on it. Have to be 3 folks from the hotel industry, one person from the restaurant industry, a person from the chamber industry, and then the county judge would appoint 2. And the goal is to use that money in a way that actually generates more hotels, more heads and beds, if you will.
A cynical guy like myself might point out that we're just doubling the room tax on people that are passing through here and don't have any say in it, and, you know, just generate money we could put in a speed trap or something.
Well, the speed trap would go to the state, and we couldn't spend it on local stuff. But the cynical guy in you is right. That is exactly what I'm proposing, is that we increase the hotel tax, and we do that in lieu of raising our own tax. You're exactly right.
No, I know you're a sharp guy. I know you're not just doing this going, I think it'd be a good idea to double the room tax and get some extra money without some end game in mind. You've got something in mind for this.
I do. And I do a fair amount of travel in my work. So I'm every time I get a hotel bill at another city, I look at how much that transient room tax out. I didn't used to, but now I'm kind of obsessed by it. And I can tell you that what we're going to do to our transient room tax is not, and we're still going to be the cheapest place. And just think about it. I mean, do you think we're going to lose anybody to Metropolis or Calvert City? I don't think they're not going to stay in Paducah. So it's business. It is what it is. I think we're located in the right spot. We can capture these dollars. We ought to capture these dollars. Now, what to do with it? Yeah, you're right. I feel that this community needs and wants more sports recreation, and I feel like this extra money could be spent on sports recreation projects, provided they are designed to promote tourism. So they have to actually increase the restaurant business and the hotel business, which is important to us. And that's what funds it. So,
well, we've heard a long time about parents especially wanting a better soccer field complex, a better baseball, softball field complex. Because I see what's in other towns. I mean, on your way to the mall in Cape Girardeau, you drive by this huge, brilliantly wonderful built complex, and you know there's a lot of traveling that goes on there, a lot of tournaments. A lot of these parents are traveling to other places and seeing these things. And I can see where if we did have that here, it would generate tourism.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is that the parenting that my dad did for me is different than the parenting I've done for my daughter. I mean, you know, I spent a good number of years in what I call a cult called the Beverly Rogers Dance Club.
Well, you're going to get, you can address the complaints to G Dunker at WKYX.com, and I'll just pass them on to Commissioner Jones. That way, you know, you can get a hold of me, and I'll just pass those right along.
And I'm a big fan of Beverly Rogers. But
do you have a bodyguard? Somebody standing outside by the car?
Let me just explain.
We can have an intern start the car for you when you leave. I know what you mean. You're on my sister. Mm-hmm. Her daughter was in dance. I don't know if it was Beverly Rogers, but was involved in dance teams. And it's like every weekend.
That's
you're
right.
You're traveling someplace.
Yeah.
And you're not going down to Barbville either. This is long distance stuff.
That's right. And the same thing happens in travel baseball, soccer. You know, you just end up kind of committing. All right, for the next 6 months of my life, I'm going to be part.
6 months? More like 12 years.
Yeah, at a time. Usually there's a season break somewhere in the year.
But, unless they're involved in something else. See.
That's true. But, you know, the reality is we don't have those facilities in Paducah. I mean, I personally feel like the landfill is very substandard. I mean, it actually is built on a landfill, and while that's a noble thought.
It's a noble reuse of the land, I think.
But it's just not working.
Well, and it's kind of small, for starters, and it's just I've driven by that. It's just this bare space out there.
Yeah, it's before its time. I mean, it hasn't actually spent its time in reclamation so that you can build on it. You can't run water lines on it. I was surprised at the number. About 800 to 1,000 folks gather out there every Saturday and try and navigate a parking lot and figure out where they're going to mm-hmm. use the restroom and, you know, carry their own water. It's substandard.
Well, they do it for the kids.
That's true.
So, but this is your idea. This is the end game. And where do you want to put this thing?
Well, my thought, and I'm open to other considerations. I see the Sportsplex, and again, we all bring our own personal experiences to this conversation. I've been in the Sportsplex lots of times as a volleyball parent. I see its use. I know there's 40 acres out there. I know that everybody says, no, it floods. It floods. Well, let me say this about that. Yes, it's a flood-prone property. What I'm learning is I'm talking to some of the experts about recreation use property, that floodplain property might actually be the highest and best use for floodplain property. Right, we're not going to build houses there. We're not going to put children in living rooms there. We're not going to store antique furniture there. You got to look at the type of flood. Is it going to be a turbulent flood? How long's the flood? How does that match with the season? The elevation of that particular property starts at Highway 60 at 341. I've been told that 342 is the magic number in this area. 342, you would survive the 37 flood. So the highway is around 341.
Great. So if we have a 37 flood, I can't get home.
That's right. You know, and we've had three of those.
That's wonderful news. you're really making a case here. But you've talked to civil engineers that say you can build this up, and you were telling me that a lot of recreational complexes are built on floodplain lands just like this.
And not just floodplain lands. When we talked to Norm Gill, and we haven't done, I don't want to represent that we've done the civil engineering due diligence. We haven't done that yet. But did ask Norm Gill to come down here from Louisville. He helps plan these recreational facilities. He's conservative. He first thing he said is don't overbuild. Lots of communities are building it, expecting that they come, and they don't. You need to really look at your market, decide if you're in the right spot. I mean, for example, this might not make sense for my hometown of Hartford, Kentucky. I mean, you could build a big field there, and probably nobody would come. But I think Paducah's located that it actually would work and would increase our.
And when you say you're not trying to pretend you've done the due diligence, but you've at least put some feelers out there and haven't had your hand smacked.
Oh, that's true. Now,
you're not getting people going, what, are you crazy?
Well, some on the flood. I mean, you got to really have that. That's a
I mean, civil engineer type people.
No, I've had no civil
engineer. I told you were crazy. And I'm not a civil engineer.
So 341 is the road. Most of that property is around 337, 338. So I don't know. I've been watching.
It might not be terribly expensive then to build it up and put drainage in and stuff to try to get this where it would be maintained.
Yeah, I've been looking at the property, and I think the primary problem is the drainage, getting the water moving away faster so that it's not just waiting on evaporation.
Well, listen, Eddie, there's a lot involved in this. If people want to get in touch with you to say, go, Eddie, go, or have their ideas or whatever, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, I guess they can email me, but there's a website called eddiejones.com, believe it or not.
Well, all right then. That's easy. eddiejones.com. You can text me. And I do think this area needs something like that because I see other areas that have it. And I know it would generate a lot of revenue. And we'll see how this shakes out.
All right. Thanks for having me.